Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Well, let's go to Storm Brendan and then to Storm Leo, probably in the same call, because we're talking to Alan O'Reilly, 51551. Alan O'Reilly is in Carlow. He's of Carlow Weather. Describe the storm. Is it as bad as predicted, Alan?
Yeah, Joe, it's pretty much in line with what was forecast. It rapidly developed in the Atlantic, known as a rapid cyclogenesis or weather bomb, as some people like to call it, when a depression drops very, very quickly. So it's moved across the country, taken out an awful lot of power outages across the country, an awful lot of trees down, some structural damage.
Where did it land?
Well, Roach's Point is where the top gust was saw of 135 kilometres an hour.
Wow.
So it's moving off the northwest coast, but the second kind of swathe of winds will hit the northwest later. But the main band of it has moved through now. It's just peaking on the east coast for your listeners in Dublin and along the east coast. And there's a squall line just hitting a lot of thundering lightning actually down in Wexford in the last 10 minutes. So it really did kind of leave a mark, and a lot of power outages around me in Carlow, a lot of trees down. But it is going to slowly start to improve in most areas now for the afternoon, except for the northwest. The big issue then as well is the threat of coastal flooding with high spring tides. And the M6 weather buoy out in the Atlantic has recorded a significant wave of 13.2 metres. So if you think of a wave 13 metres high, that's rather significant. So the risk of coastal flooding is there with high tide this evening in Galway and along the west coast.
Okay, but you mentioned Wexford. Let me go quickly to Wexford and Tom Carr. Tom, good afternoon. You're in Rosslare Harbour.
Hi, Joe. Yes, Tom. Oh. Yeah.
Well, what's happened down there?
Well, we just had a big sheet of rain and hail, which is kind of turned off a little bit at the moment. It is. I wouldn't go out in it, I'll put it to you that way. It's not quite a roof rattler yet, but it is getting bad, I have to say. Our power just went out about an hour ago.
Sorry to hear
that. We are kind of lucky in that we have the gas. My wife, Angela's, we're very well prepared. I have a disability with my neck, and my electric chair that kind of supports my neck is gone, unfortunately. But we manage. I might have to go to bed in a little while now because.
What do you mean the electric chair which supports your neck?
I have an electric medical riser recliner. It's like a normal riser recliner, but it keeps. I've had several surgeries. I've had two head and neck cancers through my life, and unfortunately the last one was bad. And the operations weren't very successful. But as a result of that, I need the chair. I normally recline back, which helps me not with it. I'm not in too much pain that way. But it gets to a point where I'm sitting up, and luckily the chair is actually sitting up because I'd have difficulty getting out with it.
Okay, but that chair needs electricity to work for you to calibrate it and move up and down. Okay.
To recline it back, yeah.
But, yeah, that's worth people remembering that. I know to be without electricity is awful, but to be dependent on it for your physical and medical comfort or even relief is even worse. And is that a chair you can charge, Tom? I think you're going in that.
It was supplied by HSE, but it's not chargeable now.
No, it's not chargeable. Okay, Tom, I just want to go maybe try and get a better line in a sec, but I want to go across to where St. Brendan set sail, and him of the storm, we presume, from Mount Brandon, was it 6th century, the foot of Mount Brandon. Michael lives there. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Good to hear your voice.
And give us what happened and what is happening.
Well, over the last few days, we've been getting the weather warnings coming into West Kerry, and we usually get it first. And I was awake at about 4 o'clock this morning and I recorded a 60-mile-an-hour wind.
Okay.
But the moon is very, very bright at the moment, and because it's full moon, it's beginning to wane now, but we're getting the highest tide today and tomorrow. But I've been recording all morning the wind speeds around about 45 to 61 coming south-southwest.
That's gale force what, Michael? That's gale force 9 or 10, is it?
And that's 10. It's verging on storm.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And if we look out at Mount Brandon, we can see it was absolutely crystal clear this morning. We had blue skies. And now, in the last hour, it's come down. The mist is halfway down the hill. And we're getting this rain belt coming in as well. Now, the last... I take a speed reading of about every 10 minutes.
Okay.
And I've been recording it going up to 55. And then about an hour ago, it went down again to 40. So, you know, it's very variable at the moment. And this is where it becomes most dangerous because people think it's begun to calm.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they go out, then they get caught in a gust. And especially down here, now we're really right on the coast, Brandon Creek, where St. Brendan sailed, as you said already, 6th century. And if you went up on the cliffs now, you'd be in a very, very, very precarious, dangerous position.
And did when you woke at 4 o'clock, Michael? I presume you had them everything battened down. But would it lift garden furniture? We've seen photographs of trampolines and motorways this morning. Would it lift furniture?
Well, it would. Any garden furniture left out in the middle of the garden would have gone for a 6 now. There's no doubt about that. All you can do is, I went out yesterday and tied everything down and just checked around the place, made sure there was nothing liable to fly through a window or anything like that, or fly onto a road and cause an accident, car, you know, hitting a log or hitting something. Yeah.
So, and your electricity didn't go?
So far, thank God.
Okay. Do you think, has the worst gone past you, Michael?
I think it's going to come up again in the middle of the afternoon. We're going to get it increasing from about 4 o'clock onwards. But at the moment, it's just violent gusts.
Okay. But have you your own weather station there as well? What machinery are you operating off?
Well, I run a little weather station that I have of my own. It's only it's called a Davis weather station, Davis Vantage VU. Very good. It records wind speed, the pressure, barometric pressure, temperature inside, temperature outside, and direction, and precipitation, rain.
Well done. That's a hobby.
Just a hobby.
By the way, Michael, have you seen people out and about?
Not very many.
Yeah, it's not that.
Not very many.
Okay, well, stay safe. And Michael, how does that wind speed today? I'm catching you on the hop now, but how does that compare to previous measurements on your weather machine?
It has increased. So from last year, no, we didn't get half as strong of winds as this. We got a couple of the storms, but we certainly haven't had the consistency as we have this time.
Okay. That's Michael. He's in Cuas, near on the foot of Mount Brandon, as he so beautifully described it, and near Brandon Creek, where St. Brendan set sail. Alan O'Reilly, back to Alan. Alan, okay, as you say, it's moving quickly. Dublin's at its peak at the moment. Just everyone stay safe. But Alan, we also have Storm Leo coming down on February the 7th with the general election. What's the weather like for canvassing in... By the way, how would you describe January and February weather-wise out of the 12 months?
Well, certainly wouldn't be a month to be picking to be out canvassing, Joe. You know, funnily enough, the 7th of February holds the record for the coldest ever February temperature. back in 1895 in Longford, it got down to -17.8. So I wonder how you'd fancy voting in that, Joe.
1895, February 7th.
-17.8.
-17 degrees. Yeah. Now, we must ask Bertie Hearn, because he was a candidate that year, I think. That was the first time he stood. 1895. So what's it been like in the... What's I'll begin with February the 7th, the so-called election date, there or thereabouts. What's it been like in the last 5 or 6 years on the beginning of February?
Yeah, it varies a lot, to be fair. So, you know, last year it was the 7th of February, kind of in and around that time, it was generally mild. But we often do get cold snaps. Obviously, right up until the end of February, a storm Emma, as everybody, I'm sure, still remembers. Mm. And I remember speaking to you, Joe, on the 12th of February in 2014, a storm Darwin came across the country.
Darwin, yeah.
That was probably the biggest storm that I've ever witnessed in living memory, you know. Not quite the 40, but getting near it. And that saw, I mean, hundreds of thousands without power. So, you know, you can have extreme storms in February. You can have extreme cold, extreme snow. It wouldn't be a month that you'd be picking to be outdoors in Ireland for 4 weeks walking the roads, you know.
Well, that's what they are picking now. And Leo, the Taoiseach, yesterday said the reason he's picking it is because of John McGuinness saying he won't stick with his party when it comes to the confidence supply abstention. He'll vote no in Michael Collins's motion about confidence in Simon Harris. So it's going to be a stormy election.
Well, the only thing is, I'd say, Joe, we could be safe enough that every road would be gritted on the 7th of February if it needed to be.
Yeah, but say electricity went down on the 7th of February.
Oh.
And you couldn't, and your polling station shut down for safety reasons.
It's certainly not a month of the year that you'd be taking a gamble on having good weather. Absolutely not. Now, it does look like it's going to... We have a very stormy week ahead. We have more storm coming tomorrow and again on Thursday. Now, not as severe as Brendan, but bad weather. It does look like it'll settle down a bit for the weekend, and the weather trends, if you were to look at the longer range, it does look like it could cool down towards the end of the month with some cold weather. So, you know, at this time of the year, really, it's a tough one to call.
Okay,
it certainly wouldn't be good weather you'd be looking for.
Yeah, but what is the worst month of the year for weather? The worst weather, if you follow me. I know that we get too much weather in Ireland, but what is the worst time of year weather-wise in Ireland?
Well, rainfall, again, the highest monthly total actually was October and December. But February often as well, like the funniest as well, then the 3rd of February is the highest daily total for rainfall in February, was 146 millimetres.
Are we mad? Are we mad having an election in February?
And that was only in 1994, on the 3rd of February.
Are we mad having an election in February because of one man?
Well, I'd be fairly familiar with my neighbour in Kilkenny, John McGuinness. He certainly likes to talk to get a few votes. So
I know, and he's a good talker, and he was a good minister, even though he was ostracised when he was made a junior minister at that time, as he wrote in his book. Stay there, Alan. Tim Desmond is in Ballybock in Dublin. Tim, what's happening in Ballybock and close to Croke Park?
Well, Joe, just at the end of Clonliffe Road there, about 5 minutes ago, I was driving through and... lighting pole, wires and all, had just come down onto the road.
Wow.
And in one of those acts of heroism that were famous for Ireland, a couple of local lads who were working construction came out of the site with a load on and machine, like a huge forklift, lifted the pole up off the road to allow traffic through. And there was one of the lads there. He's just been guiding us all through trucks, cars like myself.
But was it, Tim, was it carrying electricity wires?
There would have been a supply of electricity, but only to the lighting pole, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
It wasn't a heavy cable or anything, but the pole had come across the road and was blocking the road. But as I say, these guys had come out with their machine and lifted it up to keep the city moving.
Okay, well done. That's Ballybock. And I'm sure the ESB will be onto that quickly as well. Thanks indeed, Tim Desmond, formerly of Liveline Parish, now making award-winning documentaries. Alan, I come back to this whole thing about this almost blasé floating into an election as if we're living in the Bahamas in the craziest month of the year weather-wise, going into the second craziest month of the year weather-wise. Are we mad having an election on February 7th? Or any part of February, for that matter? When it's not going to, is it going to change anything, I wonder?
Well, I don't know. I suppose, to be fair, Joe, you know, it's a tricky one to call, because it's easy enough, I suppose, for some people to pick a time and to travel and you have your car. But if you look at maybe the elderly and the vulnerable, they mightn't have as many options. And, you know, trying to keep a house warm if it gets cold and different things, it's certainly not an ideal time, I think. But as usual, politics will do what politics wants. Okay. And I don't think they're going to listen to me or you on the weather.
Yeah, but given that in the last 5 or 6 years, especially, we've had more, and most of them justified, and you can't second guess a weather warning. But we've become very, very conscious of weather and safety. And as we know, tragedies happened with trees falling and killing, in a number of cases, good Samaritans around helping people. It is a dangerous, dangerous time. But anyway, Alan, people are telling us now there's abandoned shopping trolleys careering around half the car parks of the country, the shopping trolleys that people use out of the supermarkets. But anyway, you say hopefully it'll be all over by 6, 9 o'clock, and then what's coming, there will be more storms. It won't be as bad as Brendan.
Yeah, it'll have passed the east coast, really. The majority of the country within another hour now, it'll clear. The northwest then, it'll be later tonight. But the southeast again tomorrow, and maybe even a little bit of sleet and snow tomorrow on some of the hills. Feeling bitterly cold now, so turning much colder for a few days, and then another belt of strong winds and rain on Thursday.
Okay. Alan, thanks indeed. That's Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather. Say there, 51551 is our text number, joe@rt.ie. Mary O'Callaghan, what happened in Cork, Mary?
I was at a funeral at 12 o'clock today, and it was absolutely horrendous at the time. The wind was blowing and it was pelting rain and hailstones, and I was actually lifted off my feet. My umbrella turned inside out. Didn't mind that.
And you physically did a Mary Poppins. You left the ground.
Yeah, I actually did. And you know what scared me was the fact that there was children coming out of the school nearby at 12:30. I think the government shouldn't have had children at school today. It was so ridiculous. And they know that this storm is coming, endangering their lives, the little ones.
And Mary, how were you? Did you landed on your feet, I hope.
I did. I think it was scary, Joe, to be honest about it.
And when you say at the funeral, were you at the burial or the
No, at the Mass.
At the Mass, okay.
At the church door, I was absolutely lifted off my feet.
And now is the time children have been collected in school.
But there was kids next door. My sister was with me and she was picking up small children.
Okay, well, especially as it's peaking now in Dublin, which is the most populated part of the country.
Yeah, I think they shouldn't have had children
They are in school, so we have to turn what you're saying into a warning, Mary.
I think that is
a warning to people to be extra vigilant. Teachers will be, parents will be. Make sure you're on time if you're collecting a child. Make sure you're safe and sound. Make sure your park's safely. Yeah, and you open, if you're lucky enough to have a car, open the door slowly.
If you're in a bus or on foot,
be very careful. Okay, Mary.
I think that children could be lifted and pushed onto a car. That's why I think the Department of Education shouldn't have had children at school today.
Okay.
Small children especially.
Well, let's hope everyone's safe and sound and are ballasted by your warning, Mary, to be extra vigilant.
I'm not joking, Joe. It was dreadful.
Okay, I take your word for it. Have you ever been lifted off your feet before in a storm, Mary?
Well, I'm not a skinny person, but it lifted me anyway.
It was Operation Transformation for you, was it, Mary? It turned you from flat foot to airborne within a few seconds. How long were you up in the air for?
It kept pushing me anyway, Joe. That's all I knew.
Okay.
It scared me into that easy to scare me.
Well, where do you? I hope you're indoors now, ringing me.
Well, it's after subsiding a bit now, to be honest, the wind, but it's supposed to rise again. The wind is still blowing, but the rain is gone.
Just be careful. Okay, that's Mary O'Callaghan. Alan, was there any justification or any necessity for the Department of Education to close schools today, given the peak times of schools closing?
Interesting one, though. There was a lot of weather warnings that went around being shared by people creating them with red on them and saying it should have been red, but the Met Éireann always stated it was orange. I suppose the problem here is the timing of the storm, you know, peaking when people like that are collecting kids from school. And I think I've mentioned to you before that the UK Met Office use an impact-based system, which means that if the wind speed, in the Irish system is, if the wind speed is over 130 kilometres an hour in widespread areas, so not just one station on the coast, then it goes red.
But the UK system allows them to take the time of the year, the time of the day into consideration as well. So it's a different system, and it's a bit better probably because we've had orange warnings, you know, that have been at night time when everyone or the majority of people are in bed and there's no real impact. And the biggest issue really is that, you know, people head out at the peak of the storm. And if the warnings are changed to red, like I remember a scenario before where the warning went red and school started ringing parents to come and collect children when you really shouldn't be outdoors in it. So it's hard for me to end in terms of the need to call it early. But I think, to be fair, the weather reports that we've seen across the country in terms of the weather system that they're using at the moment, the warning system, they got it right. It was orange. It was red on the coast, but orange everywhere else. But I think if we had moved to an impact-based system, given the time of the day and the wind and the rain, then maybe a red would have been a better scenario to keep people from being out in it, you know?
I'd even say schools would close early.
Well, I think that's just the point in terms of, I think either they need to close or stay open because
the scenario of ringing
in the middle of it.
And then Met Éireann get criticised if the storm isn't as bad as some people predicted.
Well, that's the other part of it. The businesses have often complained, you know, the small, medium businesses have often complained that shoppers and that have been put off by weather warnings. So it's very hard to get a balance of it right, you know.
Okay, Alan, thanks indeed. That's Alan O'Reilly of Carlo Weather. Go get the app and follow them on Twitter. Paul, good afternoon. I met Aaron.
A
great app as well. Paul, you're in Navan. I mentioned the election. We mad having an election the worst time of year weather-wise.
I don't think it... Like, if these polls blow down, there won't be long putting them back up to get a few election posters on them, I think.
Yeah, but it also means all the election posters are going to blow down.
Okay,
you're not as sceptical as I am about the whole idea of having an election at the beginning of February, the most dangerous time of the year. Now, Paul, are you down in Navan? What's the weather like there?
It's actually calmed down here a bit now, the last half an hour or so, it's cooled off a bit.
So you're saying if the polls do get knocked down in bad weather, because the polls house all the election posters, they will the local authorities will be instructed to get the polls back up ASAP?
Oh, yeah. I think they'll be anxious to get polls up to get the posters onto them.
Yeah, but I'd say the local authorities say, no, we wouldn't be influenced by that. We'd be influenced by safety. But anyway, Paul, thanks indeed. And Navan, Brian Kenny in Cork. Brian.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You're the Boot House Bar and Restaurant. What's the weather like in Cork?
It's not too bad at the moment, but we had a very rough night and morning. It was very bad, to be fair.
And reports of cattle on the loose.
Yeah, there was a farmer's gate was dislodged and the cattle got loose and they were on the road. And, you know, I suppose it was just general mayhem, to be fair. It was one of the worst nights for a long time, to be fair.
Oh, wow. And what's the forecast, you know, down your part of the country? Is it gone? The worst has it peaked?
Well, unless it's the calm before the storm again, it seems not too bad at the moment. It's still a bit windy, but it's not too bad at the moment, thankfully.
Okay. Boot House Bar and Restaurant. Quite a few restaurants shutting down at the beginning of the year because of the VAT and everything else in between. How are you doing?
We're tipping away. It's tough going, to be fair, Joe, but, you know, you have to, you know, do your best, keep the door open, keep plugging away. We're still hanging in there anyway.
As always, well done. That's Brian Kenny in the Boot House Bar and Restaurant in Cork. Father Iggy O'Donovan, Varga, I didn't know you're a cephologist or a student of politics. Is there any beginning to your talent? You know about everything.
We went back
at one stage to 1895, February 7th, the day of the election, 1895, it wasn't an election, the temperature was minus 17 degrees. Now, you have some more information, Iggy.
Now, it mightn't have been as bad as that, but in 1933,
yes,
old Dev dissolved the Dáil, I think on the 4th of January.
Okay.
And called an election. He had to have a 3-week campaign the 24th of January, during which time there was a blizzard. And this was Ireland in 33 without transport, without, you can imagine, the situation.
Without electricity.
For most people,
yeah.
But the interesting thing was, some of your observers there, Joe, were sort of saying about the weather, and you yourself indeed.
Yes, of course.
And what would we do in a wet evening or a cold evening or whatever. But... in fact, the turnout in that election in January 1933 was 81%.
Wow.
Which is the highest in the history of the state.
Yeah, but it's also, is it, have you not kind of almost alluded to why there? Because it was at a seminal part of the history of the state, less than 10 years old.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people having a vote for the first time that had any meaning.
Indeed, yes.
And then the whole thing of Dev and Cumann na Gael and the Oath of Allegiance and Dev finally...
Emotions were very high. There's no doubt about that. As a little bit of what we saw last week. But anyway, having said that, it was the first time also in the history of the state that any party won an overall majority of the vote and the seats in the House.
And that was Fianna Fáil, obviously.
And Fianna Fáil,
yes. Beginning, yeah.
But it was in January 33, and it was a particularly savage weather.
Was it a savage election, as Micheál Martin is predicting?
It was. It was very, very bitter. It was very, very bitter.
The weather is bitter and the election will be bitter as well.
The election was bitter and the civil war politics were there.
Yeah, of course.
But the thing about it was that 81% of the electorate turned out.
Which is incredible.
It was a democratic decision and Mr. Cosgrave accepted the result. And they got back to business and got back into the Dáil and all went on. And this was at the very time, that month, that Hitler came to power in Germany.
Wow.
So that for all our failings, we didn't do too badly there.
That's an incredible turnout, because I heard Bertie Ahern this morning predicting the turnout on February 7th will be between 60 and 65%.
And that in an era of transport and comfort and whatnot.
But I wonder, given that today, if the weather is bad and the canvassers don't or can't go out, which will happen in the next 4 weeks, there will be an incredible reliance on social media, much more reliance on radio, more reliance in terms of debates and power of debates on television. And then we have our newspapers, none of which we had in 1933. We had a fledgling radio station, 2RN.
There were newspapers. And I think they didn't cover politics then.
No, they probably weren't allowed.
Yeah, and you had the Irish Independent Times and newly formed Irish Press.
And they were massive sellers, weren't they?
They were massive sellers in those days. The newspaper was what carried the news.
Yeah.
But the other thing, when you mentioned there, Joe, this social media and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as we saw even last week in the IRIC controversy, that when it comes down to social media and one-line comments and whatnot, it's amazing how things can swing one way or the other so quickly. Mm. And as we've seen in America and elsewhere in recent years.
Yeah. And what do you think?
Anyway, I just thought I'd give that.
What do you think of the election? What do you think of the election? I know this is what happens in elections. What do you think of the election being called because one man in Fianna Fáil says he doesn't like Micheál Martin anymore, or the government anymore? Well, he never liked Micheál Martin, did he? John McGuinness.
But I think we've all known for months that it's almost inevitable at the moment. So that might be the reason for calling it. There would have been something else.
Yeah, but they said they wanted an election in April, May, June, when the weather is better. They're saying they're being. Listening to Leo Varadkar with David McCullough yesterday, he's saying we're being bounced into an election.
Well, if Micheál and Leo together, if they wanted it in May, they could have had it in May. You know what I mean? Hopefully I don't sound cynical.
No, Iggy, never. Okay.
Anyway, the weather, whatever the excuse, Joe, will be for the turnout, it won't be the weather, because 1933... the Irish peasant farmer and ordinary working man, as they all, most of them were then, turned out in force in a blizzard.
I'm looking at the Irish Press from Tuesday, January 2nd, 1933. Dáil dissolved. Poll on January 24th. Now, the Irish Press was a Fianna Fáil, more so then, Fianna Fáil established paper. Sensational step taken by Cabinet this morning. Mr. De Valera states reason for government decision. I can't read it now, but he said the reason after midnight, one of the greatest political sensations of recent years was made public. It was evident early in the day that something more than ordinary was afoot, as rumours were in circulation of acute activity among the leaders of Fianna Fáil. None of the public, however, seems to anticipate what was coming. At 8 o'clock, a cabinet meeting was held, and again, the ministers arrived at government buildings. It was clear that some matter of more than usual importance was under discussion. The council sat for several hours, and finally, just before 1 o'clock this morning, an official statement was issued. It was then discovered that the decision had been taken to dissolve the Dáil. Hall, and signed by Donald Ubukala, who had another role later on, didn't he? And countersigned by President of the Executive Council. Mr. De Valera said, this is a statement, Dáil Éireann was dissolved 2nd of January, the election is the 7th, with the 8th of February being the next day for reassembly. In accordance with the provisional last day nomination, it is the intention, he doesn't say why he called the election.
He called it because he had detected he was going to win it.
Okay.
And, and he had, if nothing else, he had a sense of timing.
Yeah.
You know, and he went on to win the next five.
Sure did.
But anyway, that's the weather is no excuse for us next month, Joe, if people can't turn out.
Okay. I'll take your point. Okay, that's Father Iggy O'Donovan. And does John Fitzpatrick want to come on before the break? John.
That's correct, Joe. Yeah. How are you, Joe? Good afternoon, Joe. Yeah, I'm a taxi driver. Yeah, I just dropped out of Terminal 2 and I came back to Back Road Keighley for the new runway.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I'm looking at a runway now coming in, right? The runway's just over me coming in. Next of all, he does a back up into the sky.
Oh, wow.
He's going back up. I hope the passengers are okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite bad out here, you know.
Thanks indeed. That's John Fitzpatrick. I'm sure they'll all be safe and sound. Safety is a priority for every airline and every airport. Okay, John Fitzpatrick, 51551 text number. Adrian Mayo, Storm Brendan. Yeah, what's happening down there?
Just the word of warning. We're not out of the woods yet, Joe.
Okay.
It was clear earlier, but I have just, the second front has hit the back router. The storm seems to be in. I've seen a few dead birds on the road, and the wind has picked up again. I've been sent home from work.
And where are you at the moment, Adrian?
I'm in North Mayo, I'd be between Ballina and Swinford. Okay. I'm along not far from the coast now.
And have you managed to get home safely?
I haven't got home yet. I pulled in, Joe. It's not good, and people think they're out of the woods. They're not.
And what do you mean, lots of dead birds on the road?
I presume it's from the storm. There was about five or six dead birds along a stretch of road where it's particularly windy along the coast. I couldn't make them out. There was a seagull, maybe, an old sparrow. I couldn't really make out a bird.
So just a warning to people to be extra vigilant. It's not over
yet.
Thanks,
only a bit of weight on. Okay,
Adrian, safe home.
Thank you.
Safe home, 51551.